Good morning to you all. Good morning to those who are joining with us here this morning to worship, those who are joining online to worship with us, and hello to those who are using this worship resource at a later time. Great to have you with us as we come to worship God. There are just a couple of notices. Some of you will remember Pat Poole, who worshipped with us for many years, and I'm sorry to have to tell you that she went to be with the Lord and died on the 14th of August, last Sunday. The funeral will be here at All Saints at 11 o'clock on Friday the 2nd of September. If you can't remember that, you can ask me again afterwards. And the cremation will be for family only at Pershaw at 1 o'clock the same day. Last week, Diana Hunt encouraged us to bring books to put in a box at the back so that she could take them to the bridge, who would then sell them. Thank you to those of you who have brought books today. And no, there isn't a box at the back, but there is a pile of books just behind the font. And you can add to it next week if you didn't bring your unwanted books today. And a bit of good news. Many of you will know that April Walwyn was taken up to Nottingham, where it looked as though she may be having a very premature baby. She has managed to keep the baby, and they have now allowed her to come home. So April is at home, and we thank God for that. And we continue to pray that that pregnancy will move smoothly. You'll see that our theme for today is that those who are with us are more, if we continue the sentence, than those who are with them. My verse for the day, which comes up on my phone each morning, this morning happened to be God's words to Joshua, and I thought they were so appropriate for this service. So it's Joshua 1 and verse 9, and God says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And I think we can claim that for ourselves. In the difficult times, we can always say, "It's all right. The Lord our God will be with us wherever we go." And at this point, I didn't pick up the magic machine. The words in yellow are mine, and the words in white we say together. Be with us, Spirit of God. Nothing can separate us from your love. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with your saving power. Speak in us, wisdom of God. Bring strength, healing, and peace. The Lord is here. And so we pray together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So we'll stand for our first two songs, because we have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. Would you like to sit or kneel as we come to a time of confession? As we look back over the last week, perhaps we can think of times when we know we've got things wrong, we've done the wrong thing, we've said the wrong thing, we've failed to say the right things. But God is always willing to forgive us. He looks on Jesus and will forgive us. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, as we say together, Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we're going to come to a reading from the second book of Kings.
The reading is taken from 2 Kings chapter 6. Verses 6 through 23. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Will you not tell me which one of you is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the king of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, An army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "O my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these people so that they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were, inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them, so that they may eat and drink, and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they'd finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding the Israel's territory. This is the word of the Lord.
So Elisha prayed that eyes may be opened and that people could see. So some of you may have seen this one before, but as you look at this rather curious picture on the screen, just focus on those three dots in the center. And shortly the screen will go white and you will be amazed at what you see. Focus on those dots in the center. Hands up if we were amazed. Hands up if you haven't a clue what was going on. Maybe we could show it to you again later, but those who were amazed when it went white saw the face of Jesus on the white screen. Because he is here with us, so we'll sing again, "Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here."
Thank you. be seated.
And let's pray. Heavenly Father, please will you take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and fill them full of love for you this morning. Amen. Optical illusions. They're a bit of fun, but they're also quite fascinating. How is it, for example, that some people can look at this and immediately they see two faces? And other people look at it and they see a vase or a chalice. And some people can see one after the other, and some people can see both at the same time. Are our eyes playing tricks on us? Or take this classic illusion. What do you see? A duck or a rabbit? Does it depend on our point of view, perhaps? If you were here last week, you will have seen Diana preaching on two ways of looking at the world. One way is through a veil. What you see is real, of course, but you're not seeing everything. And then she took off the veil and put on her driving glasses and said she could see everything perfectly. Some folk, she said, only see earthly realities. Others can see heavenly realities behind the earthly. And our reading, which Andrew just gave us from 2 Kings chapter 6, is a perfect example of it. Because, of course, when Elisha saw this army of people from Aram, or Syria as it is, I can't seem to move on to the next slide. Perhaps you could move me on. When he saw that army, he also saw the heavenly host lined up in the hills behind, poised and ready to come to his rescue. But when his servant looked, all he saw to begin with was the physical, material army. Until, of course, Elisha prayed those remarkable words, important words, open his eyes. And then he could see both. Now, of course, it's very much like that with people today. Some people look at the world and all they see is the human environment and material events going on in it, and they interpret it in a very human way. Whereas other people, when they look at the events of the world, they can actually see God's hand at work, heavenly realities, God's domain there. Why is it that some people are blind to the heavenly realities? Paula Gooder, who wrote this really helpful book, which I've quoted from before on heaven, says the reason why people today find it so difficult to think about heaven is really quite simple. For generations, people have believed that heaven is a place up there. Way beyond, but the place you go to when you die. But since the birth of modern astronomy and cosmology and space exploration, that idea has been called into question because they've looked up there. You may remember the rather cynical words of this man, Yuri Gagarin, the first man in space, who is reported to have said when he returned to Earth, "Well, I've been up there and I didn't see God." Now, the erosion of a belief in heaven as a real place somewhere has led some people to completely dismiss the idea of heaven because it ain't up there. What's up there is infinite space populated with billions of galaxies. Other people have reacted in a more sophisticated way and say, well, heaven is a spiritual concept in the mind. It's a comforting thought, but it isn't actually real. Now, the idea that heaven is a place up there is still very popular. I took a funeral not long ago of a man who'd been an avowed atheist. And at his funeral, his daughter got up to speak about him. And she said he wasn't religious. And she talked about him. And then she said, he's gone to a better place. And now he's looking down on us. That's an interesting idea, isn't it? If you were to question people about that and say, well, where is this better place? What does it consist of? It's all rather vague. Now, the Bible, of course, sees things very, very differently. Heaven is not far removed from us. It exists alongside of us. We can't see it, but it's nonetheless real, here, amongst us. And from time to time, it kind of shows through, as Elisha discovered that morning when he looked and saw a heavenly reality. The fact that we can't see it doesn't make it any the less real. Paula Gooder, in her book, puts it like this: the events of earth are bound up with those of heaven. The two are intertwined and have been since the dawn of time. It's not out there or up there, but alongside of us, operating all of the time. And as somebody has put it, what goes on earth is related to what's going on in heaven. Now, in the past, many artists have tried to capture this heavenly reality and earthly reality. Take a look at this painting. I don't know how well you can see it. It's by a 17th century artist called Murillo, and it's called The Earthly and the Heavenly Trinities. There, of course, is a picture of an earthly family, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. But the artist has tried to include the reality of the heavenly Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, if you look closely at this picture, excuse me if I get enthusiastic about this, but if you delve into it, you can just make out the city of Jerusalem in the background. And there is Jesus standing on a cornerstone. You can't quite see it on screen, but look it up online at home, Murillo, The Earthly and Heavenly Trinities, and take a look. In the background is Jerusalem. Now, of course, the Jews believed that Jerusalem was the one place on earth where heaven and earth met. It was God's throne on earth in the temple. And the artist is trying to say to us, well, not anymore. Jesus is the temple where heaven and earth meet. The fact that we can't see it in the same way doesn't mean it's not there. Anybody know what this stands for? It comes from the world of computers, Paul? What you see is what you get. Well, that may be true in the world of computing, but it's not true in our world. You get a lot more than what you see if you've got the eyes. Now, once we realise that there is an unseen heavenly reality working alongside things in this world, it gives you a whole new perspective. It did for Elisha. He saw the threat, but he saw God's presence greater, so he remained totally calm. His servant panicked, of course. He could have panicked and fled, but because he was able to see God's presence there, he remained calm and confident. When things go badly wrong in the world, and they go badly wrong in your life and in mine, can we see what God is doing alongside those bad things that happen? Or is it all just bad? He saw God's hand. A supreme example of this, in a way, of course, is the cross. That was a bad thing. The disciples thought it was a disaster. What they couldn't see was that this was the greatest defeat of evil the world has ever seen, and unleashed grace and forgiveness into the world in a way that will one day put the whole world right. They couldn't see it at the time, but it was still going on. Can we see God's purposes at work when things are going wrong? I put this to a man once, and he said to me, "No, I can't see it. The world's in a mess. My life's in a mess. And are you trying to tell me that Jesus Christ is here working a way eventually to put everything right? I can't see it." What can you pray for someone like that but open his eyes, Lord, that he may see? And when our eyes are opened, then we respond in a completely different way. Look what Elisha did. He could, of course, have said, "Lord, send those fiery chariots, consume the lot of them." He didn't do that. He prayed that they might be temporarily blinded so he could lead them into Samaria, which is where the king of Israel had his headquarters and his army. He could have had them slaughtered there and then. But what did he do? He gave them a meal. Now, in those days, if you give your enemy a meal, it means you're not going to kill him. And Elisha then let them go. He had a completely different reaction than what he might have had, had he not seen the heavenly realities. When our eyes are open, it gives us a different kind of confidence and a different kind of calm in the face of things going wrong. Let me finish by giving you a real life example of this. Excuse me. When I was a curate in North London, a man came from Uganda to visit us. His name was Femi Adamesu, and he was in Uganda as an archdeacon excuse me, during the time of Idi Amin. And he told us this. A time came when Idi Amin appointed ministers, and he appointed a minister of education in Uganda whose first act was to ban the teaching of Christianity throughout Uganda. Femi was upset by that because he'd spent a lot of time setting up Christianity teaching in schools. So he prayed hard about it, and he felt the Lord say to him, "Go and see the Minister of Education and tell him to reinstate Christianity in schools." Well, he was very nervous about doing this, but he went all the same. And he said to the Minister of Education, "What you've done is wrong. You must reinstate the teaching of Christianity." And the Minister of Education just laughed at him and said to him, "Who do you think you are to tell me what to do?" And then Femi said this, and it surprised him that he said it. He said, "My Lord Jesus Christ has allowed you to be appointed the Minister of Education, and if you oppose him, he can just as easily take that job away from you." Well, you can imagine the reaction of the Minister of Education. He was furious, and he kicked Femi out of the building. 2 weeks later, the Minister of Education had a bad argument with Idi Amin, and Idi Amin clapped him in prison, and someone else was appointed who reinstated Christianity in schools in Uganda. When we can see what God is doing amidst all that's going on in the world, it gives us a way of reacting completely different. Would that the world could pay heed to this. Elisha did exactly what Paul tells us to do in Romans 12. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't take revenge. Leave room for God's wrath. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. It's not the way Western governments work, is it? If the enemy threatens, what do? Send in the missiles, bomb them. Not feed them, but But those who see God at work can behave completely differently. So we need to pray. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see what you're doing. So let's stand and sing this prayer together.
After each prayer, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and the response is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. We give you thanks that we are part of your family here at All Saints, within the Chase team, in Malvern, in our country and around the world. We rejoice in your presence throughout the world and the work of your Holy Spirit around the world. Although we may be few in numbers in this building, those with us are more. We pray for our fellow Christian communities around the world who will be meeting to worship you today. Not only for those who will worship in grand buildings, but also for those who will worship in humble surroundings. And we bring before you especially those who are oppressed for their faith and those for whom worship puts their lives at risk. Bless them, keep them safe, and may they know your presence in their lives. Those with them are more. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the world, as a time when there is so much pain in the world, Help us to remember that despite all the horrors we read and hear about, most people are good, kind, caring and loving, and that you are at work even when we find it difficult to see. Sadly, it seems that bad people are able to win support through lies and deceit or slavery to ideologies. Help us to be on our guard, not to be swayed in our beliefs by those who deal in evil. Help us to stay firm in our faith and to follow your teachings, even when it is tough to do so in the face of evil. And we pray for world leaders, especially those who seek to dominate others through politics or violence. Soften their hearts and help all world leaders to act in ways that bring peace and justice for all. We pray especially this morning for Afghanistan, where Taliban rule threatens to destroy the lives of women and girls, and sanctions have left the country teetering on the brink of terrible famine. And we pray too for Ukraine and ask for an end to the misery inflicted on that country and its people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. At home, we pray for our own government as they deal with a host of difficult problems. We pray that those making important decisions will be driven by a desire to help those in need and to do the best for everyone, not just those who might vote for them. We pray for those who work in the NHS, where it seems the pressures are unrelenting as we lurch from one crisis to another. We ask you to bless the dedicated medical staff of the NHS, who do their best to bring relief to those needing treatment and who are working under such strain. And we pray for those who manage the NHS that they will use their resources wisely. And as the demand for health services keeps growing, we pray for those in government tasked with finding ways to deliver a robust and effective health service. And at a time when we're hearing warnings about the consequences of increasing fuel bills and economic slowdown, we pray for those in our community who are fearful of what the future holds for them. Help our government to make wise decisions and to act to support those most in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as we enter school exam results time, we pray for all those young people in our community receiving their results. We pray for those who will be disappointed with their achievements and ask that they will be supported by their teachers, families and friends as they decide what to do next. Keep them from worry and strengthen their confidence and build their self-esteem. And we pray too for those moving on to further education or employment. It's an exciting time for them, but it can also be daunting. And we ask that all young people may live in an environment that enables them to flourish and achieve their potential. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for those who are sick or receiving treatment, especially remembering our sisters Janet and April as they continue to receive treatment and care. We ask you to bless the medical staff treating the sick and pray for restoration to full health. And we pray for those recovering from treatment and for any from our church family who are physically unable to come to church, particularly holding Frank, Shirley and Sheila up to you this morning. And we also pray for those from our church family who do not yet feel comfortable returning to gathered services following the pandemic, and who may be with us online. And we pray for those who have died, remembering especially Pat Poole, your faithful servant, who worshipped here for many years. Bless Pat's family and friends at this time of mourning, and continue to bless Ken and his family and the family of Alan Pardo following their recent loss. And in a moment of silence, we bring before you in our hearts those known only to us who are in need of your healing and love. We pray that you will bless all those who are anxious or distressed. Comfort and relieve them in their need, and bring good out of their troubles. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Stand for the peace. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. You may like to share the peace with those around you appropriately. Then Jeff will come and celebrate communion for us. All yours.
Please be seated as we come to our to join together in our communion prayer. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
So as we have eaten and drunk together, we pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. So we come to our final song. Ye servants of God, your Master proclaim. Thank you for all that you have given us. And now we offer you these tokens as we offer you the gifts paid direct into the bank account. We ask that all may be used to your glory and the building of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as we come to a blessing, you might like to hold out your hands to symbolically receive all the good things that God is just waiting to pour down upon each one of us. And may the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. And the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. There will be people. If you wish to have prayer, there'll be people to pray with you at the back. And if you just want a coffee, there's coffee at the front. Have a good week, one and all.